But I came across this prayer that I pray often, and I'll share it with you here before we start. Lord, give to me thy love for souls, for lost and wandering sheep, that I may see the multitudes and weep as thou didst weep. Help me to see the tragic plight of souls far off in sin. Help me to love, to pray, to go, to bring the wandering in. Hear me, dear Lord, the gospel seed. Help me, dear Lord, the gospel seed with diligence to sow, expecting thee to give increase as promised long ago. Help me to sow with praying heart and tears of tender love, and grant the joy of many souls in glory up above. From off the altar of thy heart, take thou some flaming coals, and touch my heart, and give me, Lord, a heart that yearns for souls. O fire of love, O flame divine, make thy abode in me, burn in my heart, burn evermore, till I burn out for thee. So I like to pray that prayer often. Sometimes you've got 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we'll move along tonight. We had quite a discussion at lunch. Thank you for the lunch. Thank you for your kindness. You folks have been very nice to us today, laughing and cutting up. Except for that one guy that kicked me on the leg for preaching. I just cutting up. All right, here we go. Let me pray. Here we go with 1 Thessalonians here. Lord, thank you so much for loving us again and your goodness to us and how good you are to us. You've given us so much here in America, and we're grateful. But even better than that, we have your precious word here. Some countries don't have it yet, and we're just overflowed with it. Help us to use it wisely, to obey it, and then to share it with others. Would you bless the service this evening now, and may we listen and learn and follow after thee. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We talked this morning mainly on verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I told Brother Robert at lunch, we were talking about the word of God, and the word that I learned was in the Greek was gegrapte. And it comes from the word grapho, graphite, where we get the pencil from, graphite writing. And it means what is written. It cannot be altered or changed in any shape, form, or fashion. It's like it's written in stone. It's final. It's complete. Nothing lacking. I mean, that's it. It is the Word of God, and it'll stand forever. Gegrapte. It is written, it's written. I had in my notes 65 times it is written in the Bible. Jesus said when Satan tempted him, I mentioned this morning, men shall not live by bread alone, but he said, it is written. Gegrapte. It is written. It is written. Each time he said, it's already written down, and it cannot be altered. I cannot worship anyone but God. I don't live by bread alone, but by every word. That's not going to change, he says. And the word means it's in the Greek tense, and I looked at past tense, present tense, future tense, imperfect tense, all those tenses or whatever. And I said, wow, what does that mean? And the perfect tense means that it's something that was stated and done here in the past, a completed action here in the past. And it's that linear, it goes on the way. It's a stated fact here, done in the past, complete. Its actions continue on. It doesn't change each time, get new verses, new chapters each year. It's done. It's a done deal, but the results of it continues on. Wow. And it cannot be stopped. It cannot be changed. Once it's done, it's done. And it's complete. It's in the perfect tense. Past was there. It's done. Future, it's done. But the perfect tense includes all three of them. It's a perfect word of God. It cannot change. All ever. Leave it alone. Amen. So, it is written. 65 times it said. But Dr. White, with the John Burgon Society, which I love that place up there. We used to meet in Mariana once a year up there. Listen to those men of God talk about the Word of God. And he said, I got his little pink brochure on it. 80 times he said, it is written, or He wrote, it's a form of, it is written, 80 times it is written, means it cannot be changed. Only two times, and every time it's referring to the Word of God. That many times. And I said, wow. Is he trying to get a message across? Now, I told my children this before. I told you to clean up your room. This is my 10th time, I'm telling you, clean up your room. You know, you ever do that? This is the last time I'm telling you to clean up your room. Can you imagine 80 times God saying, it is written, and it cannot be changed. But two times it is written is not referring to the Word of God. It's in the Revelation, and it's referring to your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it says, your name's written. It cannot be changed. Amen. You can't alter it. It's done deal.
Yes.
And it continues on forever.
Amen.
I said, praise God. I don't know what that means, how to spell it, but I got it down in my book. And I love it. Okay. It's written. And my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life when I trusted Him. And you know who put it there? I didn't put it there. God wrote it there.
Yeah.
What He's written? Once He put your name there, Rob, you couldn't get out if you wanted to. Oh, no, and He don't even want to. But my soul, are we secure or what?
Amen.
I love it. All right, we talked about walking with God this morning and this Word of God being so precious to us. And we talked about, I read in Deuteronomy back there, and it's quoting in Romans. Chapter 10, I get my verses right here. Yeah, chapter 10. And we talked about salvation and believing the Word of God. And the Word says in Romans chapter 10, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven. Now this is what Deuteronomy 30 said back there, remember? Who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. He's not coming back anymore until the rapture. He comes in the air to call us home, right? Well, there's a fellow that preaches on TV all the time, and he said Christ has already come back many times. And he's over there in India and has established several churches over there. Already established several churches over there himself. And I says, don't believe a word of it. Not in the book. I said, he's not coming back until the rapture, until the trumpet. And I hadn't heard the trumpet. And I'm geared up for it. I'm one of the ship. My name's in the book.
Amen.
I'm in the family. And when the whistle blows, I'm going up.
Amen.
All right. You're not going to bring him down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring him up from the dead. Mm-mm. He's already been there. He's already out. But what saith it? The word is now thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The word of faith which we preach. The word of faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in the heart that God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. No difference between the Jew and the Greek. Same Lord over all, rich in all that call upon him. Well, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they hear call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? How are they going to do this? Heard of. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And I teach about that, and I said, you don't want to see my feet. My feet not pretty at all. After you get old, your toes get all wrinkled up, and your toenails get all thick as iron. And, I mean, nasty looking. You, I wash them, clean them up, and they're still not pretty. And my wife may have pretty feet, but us guys, you don't have pretty feet. God said your feet are beautiful.
Amen.
How beautiful. Not just pretty. Preacher's got beautiful feet. You ain't going to see them. Don't worry about it. I'll keep my shoes on. You say amen to that too, all right? Well, then he says, have they not all obeyed? But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Talking about preaching. Now, when I went to Cochran, they went 2 years. No, they went a while. We had about 2 years. They went out of pastor, and so when I came there, they had a lot of young people coming in preaching for them. And I was sitting on the steps in front of the church one day, and a guy drove up, a young fellow drove up, and he said, hey, let me preach for you Sunday. And I said, excuse me, I don't even know you. He said, well, I preached here before. I said, are you a preacher? He said, no, I'm not a preacher, but I like to preach. I said, no. I said, you been called to preach? He said, no, I haven't been called to preach. I just like to preach. I said, no. You're not going to preach here Sunday. He said, well, I preached here before. I said, no, no. I'm the pastor here now. You don't preach here unless I say so. I know what you've done before, and I appreciate that, but we got a new rule. I mean, we got a new captain in charge here now. We don't do that. Well, he got upset and he drove off. A few days later, another guy drove up and he said, "Hey, man, let me preach for you Sunday." And I said, "Are you a preacher?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, you guys coming by wanting to preach? You're not a preacher. What do you do?" He said, "We just like to preach." No. It's got to be a calling of God. It's not something that we play around with. It's not something we joke around with. We're not here to be popular. Whether you like me or not like me, God called me to preach. I'm going to preach the Word of God. I'm here to please God, not man. And I said, we don't do this to tickle the ears of the people and get liked around here. You preach the Word of God because it's a calling of God on your life. Well, I'm a lay preacher. I said, what does that mean? He said, well, I don't know. They told me that's what we were, lay preachers. I don't know if that means it's a preacher that works on the side or a lay. I don't know what a lay preacher is. I said, I just know I'm a called preacher. Okay. God broke my heart. That's when I quit my job and went off to school and studied and whatever. And so you got to be called of God. Well, let me move on. They didn't preach and that didn't sit too right. Yeah, I just said a lot of things right when I went down there. But okay, here we go. But I say, have they not heard? What about these people that never heard? No, the gospel has gone into all the world at one time or another. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. Wow. The world has heard the gospel at one time or another. A nation has a tendency, they have a choice. They can either cling to the Word of God, or they can deny it. It's smart to cling to it, love it, hold on to it. This nation was founded on the Word of God. So the Word of God is so important here as we look at that. And then we talked about this. When they heard, there in Thessalonians, verse 13. Now, we went to verse 9. For they themselves show of us of what manner of entering in we had in unto you to serve the living and true God. Oh, wait a minute. When they heard the word, they received the word, it said, they were saved. And when you get saved, when you hear that word of faith, you turn to God. That's called conversion. That's called repentance. Repent means to do an about faith. I went to Lanier High School, took Army ROTC. One of the things they taught us was how to do an about faith. You turn. You don't do an oblique movement, a part movement. You do a complete turn all the way around, 180 degrees. That young sergeant up there says, Sergeant Palmer, you will turn around. You will do 180 degrees. You will go straight opposite the way you're going. I said, yes, sir. What was I, 16, 17 years old? And that Army Sergeant, old ex-Army Sergeant, boy, hey, you will do this. You know how to get funny talk, you know, like Gomer Powell and them do on there. And he said, you will turn around. I said, yes, sir. Well, I learned that, and I went in the Navy. They taught me the same thing. I'm crazy. I went to 2 boot camps in the Navy. I joined the reserve and went to 2 boot camps in Great Lakes. They hollered at me up there. I didn't like 2 weeks boot camp. My family was Navy from way back. I got out of the reserves, joined the regular Navy, went to San Diego for 13 weeks of boot camp. I said, I love it. And that guy, Chief Officer, he says, I'm not going to holler at you fellas, but you're going out as honor company. This is my last company, and you will be honor company. And I said, okay, sounds good to me. Now he says, I'm not going to holler at you, but when I tell you to do something, you will do it, or else. And I said, I don't want to know the all else. I just will do it. And so we did it, and we went out as honor company. But when he said, go to the rear, march, we went to the rear, march. If he said, do an oblique movement, we did a 45-degree movement. If he said, stop, we stopped. If he said, go, we went. How's that? Simply obeying what the master said to do. That's all you got to do, is do what he says. Now, when they heard the word of God down here, they received it as the word of God, and when you receive it into your heart, remember I told you this morning, people say, how you like the preacher? How you like the preacher? I love the preacher. I didn't go to hear the preacher. I went to hear the word of God. The preacher's not going to change my life. He's not going to help me one bit other than being my friend and guiding me into the word. But the word of God is quick and powerful. That's what changes my life. Getting that word of God in my heart did something that I couldn't do. We reformed. We're not going to that dance anymore. That's enough trouble. We're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to do that anymore until the next weekend. till the next weekend, the next weekend. No. But something changed in us when we got saved. I didn't want to go anymore. See, that makes a difference. So they turn to God to serve idols. Now, let me show you the difference. When you by faith receive the Word of God, you turn to God. Now, a lot of people say repentance is turning from your sins to God. No. You got it backwards. You turn to God and you automatically leave your sins behind. God, if I turn from my sins, that's reformation. Well, I'm not going to do this anymore, so I'll turn to God. I didn't know what I was going to do anymore. I knew I was a lost sinner and cursing and swearing and drinking and dancing and whatever else you can imagine. That's not what saved me. What saved me was when I, by faith, received the Word of God. I turned to God and said, you know what I need. I didn't look at all my sins and say, well, I'm going to stop this. You know, an older couple called me one day and said, we need to talk to you. So I went over there to the house. And they said, we've been listening to you talk about salvation. I'd go by and visit every once in a while. And we got along great. He said, tell us one more time about how to get to heaven. I said, okay. So I went through the plan of salvation. His wife said, nobody just bawling. I said, I got him. I'm thinking, win him to the Lord. And I said, would you like to ask Christ in your heart to save you? He said, yes. I said, great, let's pray. I said, let me pray a little bit first, and I'm going to let you pray. So I prayed and asked the Lord to help him, you know, and listen to him now. And then he hesitated, and I said, go ahead and pray. And you need me to help, you know? I said, go ahead and pray. He went and prayed. He said, wait a minute, let me ask you a question, preacher, before I pray. He said, if I get saved, am I going to quit smoking? I said, well, no. I said, well, let's leave that up to the Lord. First, let me get you saved. He said, no. Before I ask Him to come into my heart and save me, is it going to change my life? Am I going to have to give up my cigarette? I said, well, yes. The Bible says your body is the temple of God. And when you get saved, you become the temple of God. And God's a holy God, and He'll want you to do that. He said, I'm not getting saved. I said, sir, you going to let a little nickel cigarette send you to hell? He said, no, I don't believe a cigarette will send you to hell. I said, no, that cigarette won't, but your choice will. You're choosing cigarettes over asking God to forgive you and to cleanse you. He said, I'm not going to do it. I said, what about you, ma'am? She's just sitting there just bawling. I said, would you like to be saved? She said, I would, but I'm going to stay with him. I said, no. I said, do you see what you're doing, sir? You're turning Christ down, and now your wife is following you. Don't lead her the wrong way. When you receive the Word, now turn to God. Leave your sins alone. We quit dancing. What I put down here, oh my soul. I quit swearing. I quit doing all of these things. And I began to invite others to come to church. Now, I want you to go on to number 3. Verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? In God and in Christ. How do you get in? Well, when you by faith hear the Word and receive it, and you turn to God, yeah, and you ask Him to forgive you, and you receive it by faith, you're in. You're the church. Now, there's a discussion as to what is the church. The word church is ecclesia, means a called out assembly. It can mean a mob. You can look this up in any dictionary. It means a mob, a group of any size, of any kind. It may not be the church like you think church. The word ecclesia just means a called out group. It may be a special group. It may not be a special, just a group. When did the church start? Here's a problem we got now. Here's a doctrine. Big question. When did the church start? We say in Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Spirit came down and indwelt the believer, they became the body of Christ. Oh. But wait a minute. What about the disciples? They were a group, and they were called, they had a church in the New Testament, in the Gospels. Jesus said, if you got a problem, take it to the church. Church called out assembly. They were not the body of Christ. They were not in the body of Christ until Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came down and baptized them into the body of Christ. Now the ecclesia, the body of Christ, the church is called not just the church, the disciples, or any crawled out group, but now the church is the body of Christ. How do you get in the body of Christ? I'm glad you asked me. What is 1 Corinthians chapter 12? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Oh, verse 13. I'm in Romans. That won't get it. 1 Corinthians, Jim. Here we go. For as by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Oh, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, we've all have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That word drink means to be a partaker of. We were all baptized into one body. A lady told me one day, she said, well, two preachers down there told my members, said, your pastor's not even going to heaven, so you're not saved. I said, you tell him, come here, I take to the spot at 1010 Newburgh Avenue. I tell you what I prayed, when I prayed, about 12:15 in the morning, I aggravated into preaching, but I got saved. I take to the spot where I got saved, just about. Big church there, now the Tory old building down. I said, why do you think I'm not going to heaven? Well, you didn't speak in tongues. I said, oh, well, you're right about that. I didn't. That's not a qualification for salvation. Right. Well, he wasn't baptized believing that he got saved. I said, no, that's Church of Christ. No, baptism don't save you. Right. Baptism of the Holy Ghost places you into the body of Christ. Right. But wait a minute. You were saved when you received the word by faith. Born again. Now, you're placed into the body of Christ. Wow. I got saved on Sunday morning. I was baptized in water that night, but I was already in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Why? Because by one Spirit are we all baptized. She said, yeah, he may have the Holy Spirit, but he don't have the Holy Ghost. I said, excuse me, it's a Trinity. Not four. No. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, same word. No. If you got one, you got the other one. They both learn the same. Well, you didn't speak in tongues. No, I'm not going to speak in tongues. Sometimes my wife can't understand me. She don't understand me at all. Don't mean I'm not saved. No, by one Spirit are we all baptized. Baptism is a placing into, completely submerging, into, pushing under, dunking. I'm not a dunkard. Up north they got dunkards. They call them. So they put the people under, call them dunkards. Good people. I'm just saying, we're Baptist folks. One body, whether Jew or Gentile. Now, verse 18, and we quote that verse a lot in our circles. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, all into the same. And then he goes on talking about the members of the body making up the body. You may not be the little finger and the thumb can't say to the hand, I have no need of thee, or the eye to the foot, I don't have no need of thee. All members are important. Now, each has its own function. And each is very important. And I always use this example. We've got a bed, and it's on a rail. It's got a little iron rail down there. It's got little feet down there. And during the night, when I get up, once in a while, something about my little toe is going to hit that little rail. My little toe don't amount to much, but when it hits and gets hurt, my whole body feels it. I feel it. Oh, I said, I knew it was there, but how did I... That little toe becomes so important all of a sudden. Or, have you ever bumped your funny bone, what we call a funny bone, at a place right in here? If you bump it, boy, it just sends a little shock down your hand. Well, I might bump it here, but I feel it all the way down my hand. In other words, the rest of my body feels when I get hurt. When one member of the church gets hurt, the whole body feels it. When one church rejoices, the whole body rejoices. Every member is important, regardless of who they are, what size they are, what position they have. Now, he says in 1 Corinthians 12, baptized by one Spirit into a body. Verse 18 says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. It wasn't in the body before, but now they're in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where was the body? It's not one member here. No, everybody's in. But now, and I got that highlighted in that Charlotte, that pink, hot pink, whatever you call it. But now, are they many members, but yet one body? And he goes on explaining that. It's pretty simple, really. What is he saying here? Once you receive the word, you turn to God, and you're placed in the body of Christ. Now, that's what chapter 1, verse 1 says. Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, unto the church of God of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the word in, I-N there, in the Greek is E-N. It's pronounced the same way, but it says placing them side by side making them equal. You're equal to God? You know you're going to be heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ?
Amen.
His royal blood flows in our veins. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. To as many as received Him, to them gave me power to become the sons of God. I'm in the family. He's my heavenly Father. And I'm side by side with Him. He said, come on up here and walk with me for a while. I said, I'm coming. In God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. I like it. Now, number three. Let me get my little note here. And when you are converted, turned around, placed in the body of Christ, that is the true church, and that's what we just looked at. Number four. Why were you placed into the church? Go to verse 9 of Thessalonians chapter 1. For they themselves show of us of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living God. When you were placed into the body of Christ, there was a purpose for which you were placed there for, and that was to serve. I like that word, serve. Romans, listen to this. I've got to give this to you, whether I do anything else or not. Romans chapter 1, I love to teach this and preach this and try to live by it. But Romans chapter 1, and I wrote these down so I won't ever forget them, and I rehearse them for you. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. The apostle Paul called himself a servant. His name was previously Saul of Tarsus. Saul in the Old Testament, they had judges, but then they said, we want a king like the other nations got. And so they began to ask God. Saul means ask, but the word there in the Hebrew means, it means demanded. We demand a king. And they chose Saul. He was head and shoulders above everybody. Good looking fella. Big, handsome man. That's the man we want. The big, handsome guy. And we demand that he be our king. We're asking you, God, give us that king. He said, you got him. Boy, did he try to kill David on several occasions, didn't he? They got what they asked for. Isn't that amazing? Now, Paul, a servant. Paul's name was Saul of Tarsus. Boy, his name means asked, demanded. Paul was a keeper of the law, wasn't he? He said, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I know the law. I keep the law. I make others bow down to the law. But he got his name, Paul, means small. And this small man now is called a servant of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about a servant. You know the word probably. Doulos in the Greek. And it means a bond servant. What is a bond servant? It's one by choice. He's a servant of God, but it's his choice to remain a servant. A servant would serve maybe for 7 years and be set free or whatever. But if he had a good master and they served him well and he was in love with him, he would say, no, I'm not going free. I want to serve him the rest of my life. It's called a bond servant. They take him over to a post and bore a hole in his ear, bottom ear. This is not the little earrings that the people wear today or the men wear today. Has nothing to do with it. That was a sign then that you were a bond slave. Bond servant, a bond slave to the Lord Jesus. That was your choice to serve Him the rest of your life. Paul said, that's me. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, I put down here some notes on the bond servant. Number one, he was bought with a price. The master had to pay a price for him. I said, oh, my, what a price that he put on us. Wouldn't I be his bond servant? He didn't pay money. He gave his precious blood for us. I said, I love him for that, don't you? This preacher, I don't have to go to hell. I'm not going to hell. Why? Because he bought me. I'm his. Lock, stock, and barrel, whatever. I mean, complete. Yeah. He was owned by his master. He existed for his master. His purpose for existence was to serve his master. I said, wow, Jim, are you serving him for that reason? Or what are you doing? To please others? To be selfish or what? What? Be recognized? No, I exist for him. He's my sole purpose for being here. That's my servant. I'm his servant. I mean, he owns me. I'm owned by my master. I exist for my master. I'm owned for the purpose of serving. He don't just own me, but I'm owned for the purpose of serving. And all that I have, he gave to me. That's what a servant said. He said, all that I own nothing of myself. Everything you've got was given to you by God. Wow. All he had was given to him. Now, he was in a great position because he served the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not a bad place to be a servant to, is it? And it was by virtue of birth he was born into that family. Well, Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, he said. He wasn't a Christian. Oh, he got born again, didn't he? So he was born into the family of God. And it was, like I said, it was one of choice. A servant. The Lord said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. And any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You honor him and he'll honor you. I said, oh my soul, what a relationship we've got with the Lord to serve him. And the word doulin there means it's a continuous, complete, wholehearted action. Wow. I said, do I serve him that way? Or do I get selfish at times? No. A bondservant is completely sold out to his master. His will is my will. My will is his will. We're one, together, side by side, walking together. I like it. And then, once we're serving, while we're serving, verse 10 of chapter 1 of Thessalonians says, we're to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Even Jesus, that's who he's talking about, who delivered us from the wrath to come. And I said, we were serving, and while we're serving, we're waiting for him. As in Titus 2:13, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Waiting for him to come. I can hardly wait. I told Brother Robert, and we got through it, I said, one day, that old trumpet's going to blow. Now, one day, I'm going to die. I'm 80 years old. I can't wait. The older I get, the closer to heaven I get, and I get more excited each time. We talked about the angels, the band of angels coming at me. I said, ooh, that's 600 angels. A legion is a 6,000. A band is 1/10 of a legion. That's 600 when that trumpet blows. When I die, when the trumpet blows. When I die, 600 angels don't escort me into the presence of God. I said, I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. Even so, Lord Jesus, come tonight. But then I say, selfish. No, I got my wife here. I got my kids, my grandkids. And I got lost people. I got friends. I got the church. I got all these things down here to take care of. But the older I get, the closer I want to walk to him. So one day he says, come on up here. Wouldn't you like to be that way? I can hardly wait. Waiting for him to come. Psalm 62 and verse 5. I love this one. I've used it many times when people are depressed or whatever. And this is what I tell them. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Amen. I love it. How long will you imagine a mischief against man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, at a bowing wall, and ye shall be at a tottering fence. Verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. I'm not expecting anything from anybody when I get to heaven, but the Lord Jesus himself. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. You're not going to talk me out of it. You're not going to talk me out of my salvation. There's some things that are concrete that God put down in stone, and you're not going to move me. A lady told me one day in a place of business, she said, you're very dogmatic in your belief. I went and looked up dogmatic. It said, very firm in a Christian belief. A doctrine. I said, you're right. One who will not change his mind. I said, you got that right. I'm dogmatic. She said, you believe there's only one book, don't you? I said, yes, ma'am. I was looking at trophies and awards that we were going to give to a singing group that came there. And I was sitting in this place and I was had on a ball cap and blue jeans and a shirt. And this lady came in well dressed with her husband. And they were looking at renting a trailer. And she kept looking at me, And I just kept looking at the book. And I thought, what in the world? She'd come over and she said, you mind if I talk to you for a minute? I said, no, ma'am. I said, can I help you? And she said, yeah. She said, you're giving off very strong karma. Well, I didn't know what that was. And I'm kind of country, you know. And I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I took a bath before I came. She got upset. She said, don't be smart. I said, no, I didn't mean to be smart. I just said, I don't know what karma is. She said, a very strong feeling. That's when she said, you're very dogmatic. And I said, well, if that means a strong belief in what I believe in, I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you still believe in that same old book, don't you? I said, that same old book? She said, yeah, that book, the Bible. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, shouldn't I be dogmatic on that?
Amen.
Not changing. I'm not going to change.
Amen.
I'm settled on it. And she began to accuse me of other things. And she says, you're a church, you're a pastor, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, I've been given the gift of discernment. And I can discern some things about you. And I said, well, you're right so far. And she said, you're a pastor, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you pastor a small church. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, your church will never grow. I said, excuse me, that's not for you to decide. That's not for me to decide. God giveth the increase. All we do is preach the word, and God gives the increase. That's what Paul said. And now I'm beginning to catch on who she is. She said, your church will never grow unless you adopt the customs and culture and traditions of today. I said, oh, now I know who you are. She said, you do? I didn't know by name, but I said, I know who you are. I said, you're a false prophet. You're not of God. Because God said we're not to adopt the customs and culture of the day. And I said, now let's look at that. I'm almost 80 years old back then. I said, now I've been living a long time, lady. I said, let's go back to the 50s, out of my teenage years. Yay, 50s, huh? The Fonz. I said, now, that's the rock and roll era. I said, you mean I should adopt rock and roll music in my church? Well, no, I didn't mean that. I said, well, that's the culture of the day. Customs of the day was flat top. I said, I can't get a flat top, so I can't do that. Customs and culture of the day. I said, then after the 50s came the 60s. I said, oh, the 60s is when I came out of service. I came home in 62, and I didn't recognize South Macon or Macon, Georgia anymore. I didn't know what a hippie was. I've been flying planes off Midway Island up to the Lucid. I came home. My neighborhood had changed. Guys ran long hair. Oh, this young lady right down here. Guys with long hair like that. And I said, what is this? They said, hey, get cool, man. This is the way we do it. This is cool, you know. I said, no, you're in a cool, but put a little F on that and you might be right. No, it's cool. No, that's not cool. A guy's a guy and a girl's a girl.
Right.
Well, I learned that way back. My grammar school teacher at Ware School and making Miss Andrews K. Sherman, she said, boys will be boys and girls will be girls.
Yeah.
Boy, she was like an army sergeant. I said, yes, ma'am. I learned that long time ago. And that lady said, I said, ma'am, should I adopt the 60s? Be like the hippies of the 60s, smoking dope and taking drugs? Well, no. I said, well, that was a custom of the day and the culture of the day. Said it was a hippie culture. I said, then the 70s came in after Vietnam. Boy, they went all through the streets and communes and running streets nude and everything else. I said, is that the culture I'm supposed to have? You said I've got to adopt the culture or customs of the day or the 80s and the heavy metal rock, whatever that means, and I don't know what they got now, the rip-rap stuff. I can't understand them. Is that what kind of music I need in my church? Well, no. I said, well, then what do I need? I'm not going to adopt the customs and culture of the day. I want to be the Word of God. That's it. Let it guide and direct us. It's a thing called morality and purity and holiness. And God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He didn't say, be ye hip, for I'm hip. He said, be holy. Her husband came and got her and said, honey, get away from him. Leave him alone. Now, he's got more discernment than you got, lady. Boy. And that's when I come, and we're waiting for his son. But while we're waiting, we have to serve. And it's a continuous serving. And we're waiting and serving. And then we come over to verse 12 over there. That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you on His kingdom and glory. That's what we're doing today, is walking worthy. That means, I said this morning, in dress and in mannerisms. We're to be holy people of God. That's what Peter said over there. Be ye holy. God said that. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. We're children of God. We're Christians. And today, we let the world dictate to us what we've got. We had some singers come to the church. I'm closing out. When I first went there, the church was different. And I knew not to go in there like a bull in a china shop and scare them half to death. They didn't know some things, and I understood that. But when I went there, all the men, most of the men, between Sunday school and church, going front porch, light cigarettes, and chew Red Man tobacco. Spitting on the ground, looked like something out of the Hillbillies, you know, something. Smoking cigarettes, flipping them out there in the parking lot. I said, whoa, guys, don't do that. Oh, a little tobacco is good for you. Preacher, that never hurt you. I said, don't do that. My oldest boy was, no, that was John, wasn't it? Yeah, John was 4 years old. He come running down the aisle. Daddy, they smoking on the porch. That ain't right. I said, shh, I'll take care of it. Nope, Daddy, that's not right. They smoking on the porch. It ain't right. I said, okay, I know, I'll take care of it. No, it ain't right. I said, okay. I got out there and said, guys, don't smoke out here on the porch, man. It's all preacher's heart. That went on for about a year. I chewed the tobacco, and the lady that taught the ladies' class, or one of the classes there, or the women, she go in the basement. We had a full basement down there. She go in the ladies' bathroom and smoke. Man, about choked me to death. My office was down there. I said, man, what in the world? Don't smoke in the building, please. So, our homecoming came. First homecoming as I was there. A big day. Big dinner. The singers came. I didn't know any singers, so they gave me a recommendation. I invited them to come. That was a mistake. They were out there smoking. I said, oh no, we don't do this here. Uh-huh. And when they got ready to sing that first song they fired off, I sit down in the front row. I was doing like this. That woman took the microphone and bumped on her hips and got her hips asleep. And I'm sitting there staring at her hips. And I said, whoa, lady, don't do that. You're making me look at your hip. That's not right. She says, honey, skip the next four songs and go to the fifth one. I said, now you're getting the idea. After it was over, she said, they said, you want us to come back? And I said, no. You don't need to come back here anymore. What am I saying? We ought to be like Christians. We need to be walking worthy of God. Worthy of who we are. The children of God. Waiting for Him to come. We by faith receive the Word. And these steps are outlined in chapter 1 there. In Him. It means to be like Him. Let Him control our hearts and lives. Don't disappoint Him. Let's live for Him. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You so much for loving us and for Your goodness to us. Thank You for the blessed Word of God. We fall so short so many times. The world influences us so much. Today, ball games are taking over, it seems like. Entertainment's just pulling people away from the church. So many activities. And nothing wrong with ball playing. But on Sunday during church, Lord, surely, that wouldn't be right. Other activities are drawn away. The one couple gave the 10-year-old boy a choice. The dad said, you want to go to church or you want to go fishing with me? What a choice for a 10-year-old to make. It's not his choice. We must put You first and foremost in our lives. To please You, that's walking worthy with God. Lord, would You help us to yield to You today and control our lives, and we'll thank You for it. Help us to win precious souls to You now. In Jesus' name. If there's a need in any heart, may it be met tonight, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us, please?